Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build an Amen style subline in Ableton Live 12 that actually grooves with the break, instead of just sitting underneath it like a static low note. We are aiming for that sweet spot where the bass feels raggy-leaning, a little human, a little swaggering, but still tight enough to hit hard on a proper drum and bass system. The big idea here is simple. The sub should behave like part of the rhythm section. It should push, answer, leave space, and breathe with the drums. If the low end is too dead, the tune feels flat. If it's too busy, the amen loses its authority. So we're going to use groove pull tricks, note length control, a bit of saturation, and smart arrangement choices to make the bass feel alive without getting messy. Let's start with the workspace. Set up a fresh Live 12 project and keep it clean. You want three core things ready from the beginning: your amen break on a drum track, a bass track for the sub, and optionally a return track for a bit of dub-style delay or ambience later on. If you're working with the amen as audio, that's ideal, because audio gives you more control over warping, timing, and micro edits. Warp the break in beats mode and make sure the kick and snare stay punchy. If you're around 170 to 176 BPM, you're in a very believable jungle to modern DNB zone. Also, keep an eye on headroom. Don't slam the master right away. Leave space so your later saturation and bus processing have somewhere to go. A rough mix peaking around minus 6 dB is a nice target while you're building. Now let's create the bass. For this kind of lesson, Operator is a great choice, because it gives you a very clean sine-based sub with total low-end control. Start with a sine wave, keep the sound simple, and don't stack extra harmonics unless you really mean to. Set the amp envelope to stay controlled. Fast attack, short to medium decay, and a release that doesn't smear into the next note. If you want a more vocal, write a style feel, add a little glide or portamento, but keep it subtle. This should still feel like a solid sub, not a synth lead wearing a fake mustache. The first pass should be clean. Seriously, no need to overdesign it yet. In drum and bass, the groove is often more about phrasing than sound design. A pure sub with good timing will usually beat a fancy sound with bad timing. Now write an 8-bar MIDI phrase that feels like call and response. Think of how a ragga vocal or dubwise phrase answers the drums. You want short notes, strong rests, and a little attitude. A simple way to think about it is this. Let bar 1 put a root note down confidently, then answer with a short offbeat hit. In bar 2, leave more space and hit a note just before the snare, then repeat that idea with a variation in bars 3 and 4. In bars 5 through 8, you can add one extra pickup note or a small pitch movement to give the phrase some lift. Keep the notes mostly short to medium length. You want enough room for the amen to breathe. If the bass is always sustaining, it can blur into the kick and swallow the ghost notes in the break. Shorter note lengths make the line punchier and more rhythmically locked. Now comes the fun part, groove. This is where the amen starts talking to the bass. If you have an audio amen clip, you can extract its groove and use that as the rhythmic DNA for the bass line. Or you can choose a groove from the groove pool that matches the break's swing and feel. The goal is not to make everything equally shuffled. In fact, that's one of the first traps people fall into. The drums can carry more groove, while the sub only inherits a reduced version of it. That contrast is what keeps the low end stable and the rhythm alive. Drag the groove onto the bass clip and start gently. Around 20 to 35% groove amount is a good place to begin. Timing around 20 to 40% usually gives movement, without making the bass sloppy. Keep random very low, if you use it at all, because club-tight low end usually doesn't like surprises. Velocity can help too, especially if your synth responds to it by changing envelope depth or filter response. A little velocity variation can make the bass feel more spoken, which is perfect for a ragga-flavored phrase. Once the groove is on, zoom in and look closely at how the bass lines up with the kick and snare. This is where you clean up the important stuff by hand. Let a few notes sit slightly behind the beat if that helps the ragga feel, but pull back anything that lands too close to the snare and starts masking the break. You can also nudge certain notes earlier if you want them to bite a little more. Note length matters a lot here too. Shorten notes that clash with the snare by a few milliseconds if needed. Leave the main anchor note a little longer if it's the one holding the bar together. And don't be afraid to create tiny gaps between repeated notes. In jungle and DNB, silence can be the thing that makes the next note feel huge. A really good habit is to treat the groove like a hierarchy, not a blanket setting. Let the amen be slightly more expressive, and let the bass beat a controlled version of that feel. If both are equally loose, the low end can wobble instead of lock. At this point, Let's make the bass speak a little more on smaller systems. A pure sine sub is powerful, but sometimes it disappears in a dense break. The fix is not to make the sub louder and louder. Instead, add a quiet support layer. Duplicate the bass track and turn the copy into a mid-bass support layer. Use something like a saw or square tone. Keep it subtle, high pass it around 120 to 180 Hz and saturate it lightly, so it gives the ear something to grab onto. Keep the actual sub mono and clean. If the support layer starts fighting the snare crack, pull some energy out around 2 to 5 kHz and tuck it back down. This kind of split is really useful in darker DNB, because the bass can stay huge while still translating on smaller speakers. The sub carries the weight, and the support layer carries the readability. Now we shape the movement with automation instead of stuffing in more notes. That's a very important production habit. If the bass feels static, don't always reach for more MIDI. Try automating tone and dynamics instead. An auto filter on the bass bus can create subtle movement, especially if you use it as a counter tool rather than a dramatic sweep. A little saturator drive automation can give the phrase more edge on the drop peak. Utility can keep any width under control so the sub stays centered. And EQ8 can help you make the bass more audible without destroying the low end. For a ragga touch, try automating a short filter tip or a tiny saturation bump on the last note of a phrase. That gives you a dubwise answer without needing a new pattern. Next, shape the relationship between the drums and bass as a system. Group them separately so you can process them with intention. On the bass group, cut out any rumble below about 25 to 30 Hz. If needed, use gentle sidechain compression from the kick, but don't overdo it. In a lot of DNB and jungle contexts, the groove should come mostly from note placement, not from heavy pumping. Sidechain is insurance, not the main event. A fast attack, medium release, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction is often enough if you need it at all. On the drum bus, keep the transients crisp. A little drum bus can add weight and snap, but be careful with boom settings, because too much low-end enhancement can muddy the relationship between the kick, snare, and sub. Now let's talk arrangement, because groove isn't only about timing inside the clip. It's also about when the listener hears the bass come and go. A strong drop often works in 16-bar phrases with small changes, every 4 or 8 bars. For example, bars 1 through 4 can carry the full break and initial bass phrase. Bars 5 through 8 can repeat that idea with one extra pickup and a little more saturation. Bars 9 through 12 can remove one drum layer or mute a bass hit for tension. Then bars 13 through 16 can bring the full phrase back with a little fill or reverse crash. If you want to write a style intro into the drop, build in some filtered drums, a vocal chop, a delay throw, or even a tiny half-bar gap before the drop lands. That silence can make the return feel massive. A very useful coach tip here: when a phrase feels weak, edit the silence before you add notes. A one-step rest can do more for bounce than another bass hit. A lot of the rolling energy in jungle and DNB comes from negative space. Once the groove feels right, print it. Resample the bass and drums together or bounce the bass to audio. This gives you a faster way to make decisions, and honestly, printed audio often feels more cohesive because the bass and drums start behaving like one performance. After that, you can chop the audio into sections, nudge any problem hits, automate fades, and compare the printed version against the MIDI version. Sometimes the audio bounce just lands harder, especially in rugged jungle or darker roller styles. A few common mistakes to watch out for: don't overapply groove pull, because if the bass drags behind the drums too much, the whole low end loses focus. Don't make the notes too long, or they'll smear into the break. Keep the true sub mono, because width belongs in the support layer, not the foundation. Be careful with saturation, because too much drive can flatten the kick and snare relationship. And always check the bass against the full drum loop, not just in isolation. A groove that sounds great on its own can fall apart once the full arrangement is in. Here are a few extra moves that work especially well for heavier DNB. You can vary groove amount between sections, so the intro is a little tighter and the drop gets more humanized. You can also make one phrase slightly behind the beat and another slightly ahead, which creates a really nice tension shift without changing the harmony. Another strong move is to use groove only on selected notes, like the pickup notes, while keeping the root anchors more rigid. That gives the line a controlled sense of movement. And if you want an extra ragga flavor, use tiny ghost notes sparingly, but only if they don't muddy the kick pattern. For sound design, keep thinking in layers. Let the fundamentals stay clean and stable, and put the character in the support layer. A little filter envelope can make each note feel more percussive without needing dramatic cutoff sweeps. A narrow resonance bump in the mid-range can help the bass speak on smaller speakers. And if you want a dubby tail, send just the last note of a phrase to a short delay or filtered reverb, then pull it back before the next bar hits. For arrangement, try introducing groove in stages. Start a little more gridlocked, then increase the groove later so the drop feels like it opens up. Or build a pre-drop tease using only the rhythm of the bass without the full low end, so the listener feels the shape before the weight returns. You can even drop the bass out for one snare hit to create a tiny moment of shock before the next hit lands huge.